Tonight, we will continue in Philippians, but before we get there, before we dive into the text tonight, I want to talk about something, this really important, newsworthy thing that just take place. I don't know how many of you know this, but the iPhone 6 was just released, am I right? The iPhone 6 was just released. Yes, yes, that is a big moment in the history of our world. The iPhone 6. I love these things. I love iPhones. I love Apple. I love all of that stuff. I think it's amazing. And let's be honest, like, people freak out about these things, am I right? Like the iPhone 6, that video of the guy dropping it was all over the place. It has like millions of hits. And people line up for like weeks. Like what are you doing? Like, it's a $200 phone. Like that is, you know how much pay you're missing by not going to, you probably don't have a job if you're lined up. So maybe, I don't know. But people line up, they're there for weeks. They're waiting. I mean, people fight over these things. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's all over the news. It's in everything we do. Just the pre-orders alone. They crashed the website. Like, the amount of people that went on to Apple.com and tried to get an iPhone 6 shut down the website. It didn't even work. And trust me, I know. Because I was up at like 1 a.m. hitting refresh every 2 seconds trying to get myself an iPhone 6. Like, these things are a super big deal. People care so much about this, so much about this. And if I'm to be truthful with you, I'm a huge iPhone fan. I love, 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 love the iPhone. I really love everything that Apple makes. I'm a big time Apple fan. I love the design, I love the technology, just the way it works, the way it feels in your hand. Just it's perfect technology. It is a perfect creation to me. I look at him like, yes, Apple, you've done it again. You get it right. You know me so well, even though you don't know me at all. It's kind of weird how they do that. But I love it. I love it. I love everything about it. I truly believe that Apple makes the best products in the world. I fully believe that. There is nothing better than an Apple product. There is no phone better than an iPhone. In fact, if you have an iPhone tonight, an iPhone, not an iPod, not a Samsung, whatever, not anything like that, an iPhone. If you have an iPhone from the first generation, which I had, which is before some of you were born, I don't think that's true, but I had one of those. If you had from a first generation to an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, if you have one of those, I want you to stand up. Only iPhone, not iPod Touch, not anything else, only iPhone. Only iPhone. Wow, there's a lot of you. There's a lot of you. So here's what I want you to do. If you're sitting there and you're looking at these iPhone owners, I want us to do something. I want us just to clap for them. I want us just to congratulate them for being iPhone owners. I'm telling you. I want you to know this. iPhone owners, I want you to hear me. I want you to know that because you own this device, you are better than everybody else is sitting in this room. I want you to know that because you own this device, you're a very, very special person. I want you to understand this one's big. I want you to hear this. I want everybody to hear this. If you own one of these, God may love you a little bit more than everybody else. I want you to know that. All right, grab a seat. Everybody grab a seat for me. So here's the question. Is everybody in this room, is everybody okay with what just happened? Yes. No, you're not. Yeah, all the iPhone owners are like, yes, I am. I always knew I was better. Thank you for telling everybody else. See, something about what just happened here, It doesn't make sense, right? Like something about people thinking that they're better than somebody else because of something that they have or something that they do just seems wrong to us. Am I right about that? There's just something weird about us thinking that we're better than somebody else because we have something or because we do something. Something's just not right about that. If you have your Bibles, open them to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We have an amazing volunteer passing out some Bibles right now. If you need a Bible, please, please, please raise your hand. There's no shame. We want you to have one. If you don't own a Bible and you're taking one of these, take that Bible home with you. It is our gift. We want you to take it home. We want you to read it. We want you to be able to follow along while you're here and we look at this together. So as they're getting their Bibles, I want the rest of you to realize and understand something. See, what we just experienced in here felt wrong. We all agree with that. Something just wasn't right about that. But as we pick up the story of this book called Philippians, we're going to see that in the town of Philippi, which is who this letter is written to, the town of Philippi, something very similar to what just happened to us was going on with them. Something very similar that they were experiencing as to what we just experienced tonight. See, over the past few weeks, we've gotten some clear instruction on how Christians are supposed to live. We talked about that over and over and over again. Paul gives us clear instruction. Look, if you're a Christian, this is how you're to live. But this week, Paul, he's going to deal with a group of people who were bringing the wrong message to these people in Philippi that he cared so much about. See, we all know and we would all agree that it's wrong for us to think that we're a better human being than somebody else because of something that we own, because we're an iPhone user, an iPhone owner. We all know that we're wrong to think that we're better than somebody else because of that. So how much more do we know that it's wrong for us to think that if we act better or we look better or we follow a certain amount of rules, that we're actually more loved by God than other people are? Let's dive right into the text today. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. I got to turn this thing off. Oh, man, that fan. It's the Ryan Guard fan right there. He's a student ministry pastor, and he sweats a lot more than me. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start right up top in verse 2 tonight. It says this: watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Wow. Hold up. Paul's tone just changed quite a bit from what we've been used to over the past few weeks. Like, Paul is directly talking about a specific group of people, and he's using some very, very harsh language. He calls these people dogs. In the town of Philippi, there would have been stray dogs running around everywhere, kind of like the Olympics in wherever they were, in Sochi, Russia this year. There would be dogs running around like crazy all over the place, and they would have been disgusting, filthy. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. And now Paul uses that same language to describe a certain group of people. It's pretty intense. See, these people that Paul is referring to here, they're called the Judaizers. The Judaizers. And here's why Paul feels so harshly about these people. See, these guys were telling Christians that if all they were doing was putting their faith in Jesus, they were missing it. He was telling these Christians that if all they did was place faith in what Jesus had done for them, God wasn't going to love them as much as he loved the Judaizers. They were telling him that in order to get God to love you, you have to do certain things. You have to look a certain way. You have to follow specific rules. There's no way that just putting faith in Jesus is enough. And that was the message that these Judaizers were bringing to the Christian people in Philippi. See, they were trying to make faith in Jesus more about what they do, more about the actions that they take, more about what they look like on the outside, the things that they have and the things that they don't have. They were trying to make faith in Jesus more about what they do and what they have than about what Jesus had already done in dying on the cross and raising back to life 3 days later. Basically, they were teaching that in order for you to truly be a Christian, you had to have an iPhone. You had to have something. You had to be something. You had to do something in order to truly get God to love you. And Paul had a little bit of an issue with this. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Philippians chapter 3 says this, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Okay, so wow, that's why I don't normally put that up here. So this is what Paul is saying. Paul is going, look, wait a second. You've got it all wrong. If you think that it's about owning the iPhone, that's what makes you better in God's eyes. If you think it's about doing certain things, I want you to know that because of what Jesus did, now we're all iPhone owners. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, now we're all good in God's sight. There's nothing that we could do to earn that. He's saying, Judaizers, you guys have this whole message backwards. Paul tells us that for those of us who serve God, for those of us that put confidence, that put faith in what Jesus had done, we become the iPhone owners. It's not something that we can buy. It's not something that we can do. It's not a way that we can look. It's because we realize that Jesus, when he died on that cross, paid everything for us. That Jesus, when he died on that cross, made it possible for us to look different and to be loved in a unique way by God. He goes on to say that those of us that think we can be good enough to get God's love, we will always fall short. Those of us that think we can do the right things or think we can be a good enough person, I'm a good person. Those of us who think that and think that's how we earn God's love will realize that time after time after time after time, we'll fail. We'll keep messing up. We'll never be good enough. There's no way for us to earn our iPhone. There's no way for us to earn God's love. Instead, those of us who realize that we'll never do enough good, and instead realize that Jesus is the one who has made us right in God's sight. Jesus is the one who has turned all the wrong things that we've done into right, all the wrong things that we've done into righteousness. Those of us who realize that it was Jesus who did it all, who made our wrongs right, those are the ones who receive God's love. It's those of us that realize it's not about us earning something. It's not about us doing something. But it's instead about what Jesus has already done for us. We're the ones who gain favor in God's sight. And that contradicted everything that the Judaizers, these dogs, these evildoers, were teaching to the Christians in Philippi. The ones whom God is truly pleased with are the ones who realize it's not about what's on the inside, it's about what God has done. It's not about what's on the outside, it's about what God has done on the inside. But then it gets interesting. Because then Paul goes on to say, if it was about earning it, if it was about doing all the right things, I'd be better than everybody else. Let's keep reading. Verse 4 says this. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. He's saying, look, I have reason to be confident in the things that I do. And here's why. Continue in verse 4. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Look, I'm perfect, is what he's saying. If it's about trying to earn it, if it's about trying to get God to love you, he's going to love me more than anybody else. Because I did all the right things on the outside. I had this whole game figured out. See, Paul had every right to brag if it was about us earning God's love. He did it all. The dude was an iPhone owner from the beginning. He had God's favor from the start. If it was about him earning it from God and not about God giving it to us freely. Paul was a guy who looked right on the outside. He was from a good, God-loving family. He had that going for him. He was an outstanding citizen, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He stood out. He was a great guy in his country with his people. He was passionate about his cause. See, he believed at one point that Christians were wrong, that Christians were the ones screwing everything up. So he looked and went, look, I got this right. You got this wrong. He persecuted Christians. He dragged them out of their homes, put them into prison until Jesus changed everything. He was the cream of the crop in school, at church. This dude was top of his class in everything. When it came to scripture, he knew it all. He knew this Bible. He was a leader in his youth group. I don't know if they had youth group. I just made that up. But he would have been in every way. He did all the right things. That's who Paul was. If there was a way to earn God's love, this man, Paul, would have earned the most. God would have loved him more than anybody else. This guy had it all put together on the outside. But the truth is that even though everything looked great on the outside, what was inside Paul was still really, really messed up. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. I love this. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever were gains to me, all the things that I thought made me better than everybody else, the things I did, the things I wore, the ways I looked, the rules I followed, the person that I was, the family I was born into, all the things that I thought made me better in God's eyes, I now look at him as loss. They're now to me nothing. Nothing. He tells us that everything he used to work for on the outside, he now considers wrong because he knows that what was on the inside was still messed up. He considers it loss. See, this guy could walk the walk, but he was missing the life-changing power of Jesus. He got it right on the outside, but what was going on in his heart was completely absent of Jesus. He missed the point, and now he considers it all as loss. See, Paul did everything he could to be a good person. I mean, he just listed all of that for us. Yet, he wasn't paying attention to what Jesus truly wanted for his life. Everything, I want you to catch this, everything that Paul that used to matter to Paul, the things that he used to think were the most important, he now considers them meaningless because he was missing Jesus. Because he was missing Jesus. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Takes this even further. Verse 7, he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8 says this, what is more, even further, even more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He tells us that all the things that used to matter to him, he takes it even a step further and he goes, that stuff is garbage to me. I could care less about it. He looks and he goes, you know what? That iPhone that I used to care about, that iPhone that I used to think meant so much to me, that iPhone that mattered and made me better than everybody else, it's garbage. Because now, I know Jesus. Because now, I realize what's important. See, before Jesus, Paul could do the right things. He could do the right things. But he could never be what Jesus makes us when he changes our life from the inside out. He couldn't do it on his own. What happens here is that Paul realizes and he knows that there is nothing, no iPhone, no amount of status, no amount of fame, no amount of popularity, no amount of money. There is nothing worth more than knowing Jesus. No amount of being a good person, nothing is worth more than Jesus. He considers every attempt at being a good person apart from Jesus as trash. Like Paul is using some really strong words here. Just to tell you and to tell me that there's nothing worth more than our relationship with Jesus. That really everything else in this world is garbage compared to knowing Jesus and knowing what he's done in our lives. Paul looks and goes, look, there's no one, no matter how hard I try, there's nothing and there's no one that can make all of my wrongs right except for Jesus. Paul goes and looks and says, you know what? I'm done trying. I'm done spinning my wheels. I'm done trying to figure out this life on my own by being a good person. I'm done with that. Because now I know Jesus. Paul knows that knowing Jesus is the only way to experience God's love. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. Verse 9, I'm sorry. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He wants Jesus and nothing else. Verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. He now wants every part of his life to look like Jesus. Now that he realizes he can't be better on his own, he wants everything to be about Jesus working in him. He wants Jesus to flood his life and take control. He's ready to see Jesus' power at work in his life. And he can do this because he's let go of trying to do it all on his own. He's let go of trying to be the good person. And instead, he now looks at Jesus and says, look, it's you who does it in me. I can't do this by myself. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. We read this last week, but I want you to understand what Paul's talking about here. He says this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. See, this is what Paul figured out. He figured out that he could never do it on his own, that no matter how hard he tried, he's just gonna always mess it up. And instead, he looks and goes, you know what? It's God who works in me. You, as a Christian, you look and you go, man, I can never do it right. I always screw up. But Paul looks and goes, it doesn't matter because it's not about you. It's now Jesus, it's God who works in you to do good things, to fulfill his good purpose. You don't have to try anymore. It's about him. It's not about you. So here's my question for you tonight as we close. Are we living this way? Are we living like this? You as junior hires, are you living with Jesus working in you and through you? Are you trying to do it all on your own? What types of things are you doing right now that you think make you better? And if you're honest with yourself, I want you to think about this. Each and every one of you, I want you to think about this. If you're honest with yourself, are you trying to earn God's love? Are you? If you're honest with yourself, I'll be honest with you and tell you that I did for a long time. All through junior high and high school, just like you sitting there, I sat in a church, and consistently, I tried to get God to love me. I thought if I did enough for the right things, then God would love me. I didn't understand this concept of God just loving me because I am, and because Jesus died on that cross, and that was the biggest expression of love that he could ever show me. Instead, I'm thinking, no, I have to do the right things. I have to do the right things. It was like I had this chalkboard here, and every time I did something right, I was just marking it down. But every time I did something wrong, I had to erase one. It was just back and forth, me trying to get God to love me. And according to what we just read, I had it all wrong. It's not about me trying to earn it. It's about the fact that God already loves me. And now he's the one who works in me and through me to do good things. If you're in here today and you think that you're a good person, and that's what makes you right with God, I know this sounds harsh, but in the words of Paul, that stuff is garbage. That's garbage. If you're in here today and you think that the things you have, the life you live, the iPhones that you own, the way you act, the way you look on the outside are what make you right in God's eyes, just like Paul, we have to look and go, man, that stuff is really trash. That stuff in no way compares to knowing God. There's nothing better than knowing that God loves us and that he's working in us. There is nothing better than knowing Jesus. So this week, if you can truly say that in your life and you can look and go, there's nothing better to me than knowing Jesus and knowing what he's done for me, I want you to spend time this week thanking him for that. In your prayer time, as you read your Bible, throughout the day when you think about him, when you think about God, just thank him. That there's nothing worth more than knowing him. And if you struggle with this, if you struggle with trying to earn God's love, I want you to understand today you can stop spinning your wheels. You can stop trying. You can let go and realize Because Jesus died on that cross and rose again, he loves you so much. And there's nothing worth more in this world than knowing that. Maybe it's time for you to throw away whatever the iPhone is in your life, not your real iPhone. But maybe it's time to throw away whatever you think makes you better in God's eyes and just know that he loves you. I want you to know this right before we pray. There is nothing, nothing, junior hires, worth more than knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, just even right now, the fact that you can hear my voice, the fact that you're listening, the fact that you're looking at each of these junior hires with love, and that you know each of them by name and you know how many hairs are on their head is unbelievable. And God, today I pray that these students would realize that they can stop trying to earn your love, that they can stop trying to get you to forgive them of everything they've done wrong if they just do enough right things, that they can stop trying and stop thinking that way. And instead realize that there's nothing worth more than knowing you, that there's nothing worth more than knowing that Jesus died and rose again and took care of all of our sin for us. And there's nothing worth more than knowing that you love us deeply. God, I pray that this is a room of students who feel the freedom and know the freedom of what it feels like to be loved by you. God, I pray this week that they would walk in that they would understand that. God, that they would thank you for the fact that they don't have to do it on their own because you've already done it all for us. There's nothing worth more than knowing you. Lord, we love you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.